The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello, friend. In the next few minutes, we'll be talking about Bob Wilkins' new book, The Gospel is Still Under Siege, Chapter 6. Have you ever heard of a promise-only gospel? What information is sufficient to believe or to be convinced of in order to receive Jesus' offer of the free gift of everlasting life? This is Grace in Focus from the Grace Evangelical Society. We are located in North Texas. You can find us on the web at faithalone.org. There you'll find resources, articles, books, blogs, and details about regional conferences. Come visit us at faithalone.org. Now with today's discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
Welcome back to our series on Bob Wilkin's book, The Gospel is Still Under Siege. Today we are in Chapter 6, Is Christ's Promise of Life a Sufficient Gospel? Now, this is in reference to the Focus Free Grace Gospel, as some has labeled it the promise-only gospel. What is the promise-only gospel?
Well, I don't like that expression, promise-only gospel. I think it should be promise-focused gospel or promise-bullseyed gospel or promise-centered gospel.
So it's not just only. It is an essential part, but it's not only the promise.
Right. If you look up the expression promise of life, you'll see that occurs several times in the New Testament, or the word of life, or the message of life. In fact, we have a mutual friend, John Niemel, has a ministry called Message of Life Ministries. And that theme is found all through the New Testament, but especially in the Gospel of John. And what we see is that this promise of life is what Jesus makes over and over again in the Gospel of John. For example, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, we're talking about God the Father, and how he shows his love for the world, for everyone, that he gave his only begotten Son. Well, this giving of his Son looks at the incarnation, the sinless life of Christ, the miracles of Christ, and ultimately to his death on the cross, removing the sin barrier so that we're savable. He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but has everlasting life. And the reason it says should, rather than some translations say will, but the reason it says should is because it's conditional. Mm-hmm. You don't automatically have eternal life just because Jesus removed the sin barrier. You have to believe in him. But if you believe in him, you'll never perish. You have everlasting life. And so the reason we say the promise of life is pivotal or central is because that's what Jesus promises. You can't believe John 3:16 without believing that the believer will never perish but has everlasting life. Now, how can you call that promise only? Mm-hmm. It's believing in Jesus for what he promises. So it's not believing some general promise that anybody makes. It's believing Jesus for what Jesus promises. In fact, if someone told you that God the Father said, he who believes in God the Father will never perish but has everlasting life, that would not be a saving message, because that's incorrect. Mm-hmm. You have to believe in Jesus for everlasting life. He's the only name given by which men must be saved. So it has to be him. And that's why it's the promise of Jesus. And, you know, ultimately, what we need to recognize is people don't believe this promise in a vacuum. They believe this promise because something has convinced them that it's true. Why should I believe this man named Jesus when he says that he who believes in me has everlasting life? How does he have the authority to do that? Well, this brings in the reason why people believe that. Mm-hmm. That's the bullseye. That's the target. Yeah. But in order to get there, people need to understand sufficient information to be convinced that he can pull that off and that he does pull that off.
That was the purpose of the signs, right? To give us the information so that we could believe the promise.
Right. All the signs in John's gospel are given so that people will believe Jesus' promise of everlasting life. One of those signs, of course, is Jesus' death and resurrection. Mm-hmm. And by the way, when I talk in this chapter about is Christ's promise of life a sufficient gospel, I'm using the term gospel in the sense that a lot of people use it to mean the saving message.
Right.
Like in Galatians, where Paul is talking about justification by faith alone as the true gospel, and the false gospel of the Judaizers is justification by faith plus works.
Right. And this is the way you and Zane both used it as the title of your books, right?
Right.
The gospel here is the saving message is under siege.
Right. The reason I call this chapter is because I'm calling the whole book the gospel is still under siege. And I mean the saving message is still under siege. So some people have used promise only as pejorative language.
Yes.
Like they're saying, well, you just believe a promise. You don't believe in Jesus. No, you can't believe the promise without believing in Jesus, because Jesus is the one who makes the promise.
Makes the promise, yep. So the promise is essential. And so what happens if we leave out the promise from the gospel presentation? We no longer have a gospel presentation, right?
Exactly. Let's say you tell a person that Jesus is God, that he became a man, that he lived a sinless life, he died on the cross to make us savable, and he rose from the dead on the third day, and he's coming again. That is not sufficient information to be born again, because there's no statement there about believing in him. Now, let's say you said anyone who believes those things has everlasting life and will never perish. Well, that's not true. There's no promise in the Bible that if you believe those things, you're never going to perish, but you have everlasting life. And so a person might hear that and think, oh, okay, if what Brother Bob is saying is true, well, then I am saved forever. But I don't know if what he's saying is true, because I don't have any verse in the Bible that tells me it's true. And so, you know, I'm going to be pretty good that I've checked off this box. If he's right, then I'm okay. But I'm still going to keep on trying hard to live the Christian life, because I'm afraid he might not be right.
Right.
The Grace Evangelical Society's online seminary is getting ready for the fall semester. This is our second year, and we're very excited about it. Most classes are full, but there's still room in hermeneutics, Old Testament survey, theology proper, and advanced Logos studies. The application deadline if you want to study with us in the 2024 fall semester is approaching. Let us hear from you soon, gesseminary.org. That's gesseminary.org. Now back to today's program.
And a lot of people, they want to kind of say, well, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. What they need to recognize is, hey, until I know for sure, all of my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I can never have the righteousness of God apart from it being imputed by Christ's righteousness. If his righteousness is imputed to me, then I am righteous in my position. But that only occurs when I believe in him for everlasting life.
Yeah, so the promise, it's essential. We have a promise essential gospel.
Right.
Yeah, and a lot of, and you started to touch on this, I guess some of our critics say we have a crossless gospel. So is the cross vital in our gospel presentation?
Yeah, now here's the thing. If you were to ask hypothetically, could a person believe the promise of life without believing in the death and resurrection of Jesus, I would say, hypothetically, that's possible because the apostles believed in Jesus for everlasting life before they believed he was going to die and rise again.
Well, I know for myself, it wasn't a hypothetical. I did believe in him for everlasting life. I knew he died on the cross, but I didn't know he rose again.
There you go. Yeah. But the thing I would say is, I've not met people in this life who've believed in Jesus for everlasting life, who didn't believe he died on the cross for their sins. And you're the first one I've met that at the time of faith didn't believe he rose bodily from the dead. But hypothetically, you could have that today. In fact, I wonder with little children, how much do they grasp? In other words, do they have a full understanding of the union between Jesus, humanity, and deity called the hypostatic union? Well, we don't, so I don't think children do. And how much do they understand about the death and resurrection of Jesus? I would say, hypothetically, a child might believe that by faith in Jesus, they're going to be with him forever and yet not grasp his death and resurrection. But having said that, our message is not crossless, because we do proclaim the cross and resurrection, because that is normally, with most people, essential truth to get them to believe the promise. They're not going to believe the promise unless they believe the provision.
Right.
They have to believe in the person,
yep,
Jesus, who provided for our salvation by his death on the cross in order to believe the promise.
Yeah.
Now, theoretically, a person could just believe in the person and the promise. But in practical terms, this side of the cross, almost everybody comes by believing in Jesus. But here's the other part of the equation, Mike. What if someone believes that Jesus died, rose again, he's coming again, but they don't believe the promise? Well, as I said earlier, then they're not yet born again.
Yeah, there's a lot of, as we touched on in the good Christians in our last chapter, who
right,
do believe that,
right,
but they don't believe in him for everlasting life.
Right. So it's vitally important that we get the promise in there. If we don't get the promise in there, we have an insufficient gospel. It's got to be telling them that if you believe in Jesus, it's irrevocable. I have a friend who wrote an article saying you don't have to believe in Jesus for an irrevocable salvation. You don't have to believe that you get everlasting life that can't be lost. Mm. Well, it seems to me that's a promiseless gospel. In fact, you might, I think in the chapter, don't I call it a lifeless gospel?
Yeah, lifeless, because they're leaving out you get everlasting life. You need to believe in him for everlasting life.
Yeah, so I think some people almost present the idea that some people are going to wake up in heaven after they've died, and they're going to be shocked they're there because
right,
they never knew that that's what Jesus promised. Now, of course, when he's promising life, he's not promising heaven. He's promising life right now. But the way station for believers is if we die before the rapture, we go to the third heaven. And then when the rapture occurs, we'll meet the Lord in the air and we're coming back to earth. And, you know, a lot of people have the wrong idea, but we'll spend eternity on the new earth.
Right. I think the key concept with everlasting life is that when one dies, your eternal destiny is secure and forever with Jesus, you know, in his kingdom in a wonderful
right,
place.
And not only that, but it's secure in the moment you believe.
Right.
In
right,
other words, you don't have to wait to death to become secure.
No.
By the way, almost everybody I know believes in eternal security. They just mostly believe it starts when you die.
Mm-hmm.
I've never met anybody, have you, Mike, that says after you die and you're in heaven, you can still lose your salvation.
No, no one ever says that.
Have you ever met anybody like
no,
that?
No, I've never.
Everybody
that
believes in eternal security. They just think this life is a test. And you've got 50 or 60 years in which you've got to prove yourself worthy. And only good people are going to make it. Well, the problem is, that's not the promise of life.
Right.
The promise of life is whoever believes in him has everlasting life.
So the promise of life isn't just sufficient, it's necessary.
It is necessary. Yeah. It's absolutely as necessary. We believe in Jesus for what he promises, which is everlasting. So the three words are believe Jesus life or believe in Jesus for everlasting life.
Amen. And remember,
keep
grace in focus.
Be sure to check out our daily blogs at faithalone.org. They are short and full of great teaching, just like what you've heard today. Find them at faithalone.org/resources/blog. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, very important, please let us know your radio station call letters and the city of your location. On the next episode, what happens if I stop believing, become an apostate? Please join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.